ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. वि आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् Vibhuti Yoga, the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. If one is unable to meditate on the Lord as his own Atman, as himself, then one should think of him in the things that one perceives in this world, and all the things in this world have so much of difference. There are some things which are superior. The moment our eyes lay on those objects, instantaneously, we are reminded of something great, a huge ocean, a huge mountain, a vast desert, sunset, sunrise, etc. So the Lord says, here the Lord himself is manifesting in the form of the sunrise, sunset, beauty, vastness, greatness, infinity, etc. We are in the 21st shloka, Aditya Nam Aham Vishnu, ज्योतिषाम् रविः अंशुमान् मरीचिः मरुताम् अस्मि नक्षत्राणाम् अहम् शशिः. आर् दि आदित्यस्, ऐ एम् विष्णु. आफ् लैट्स्, वाट् एवर् रिवील्स् थिङ्ग्स् टु अस् इस् काल्ड् लैट्. दि सन्, दि मून्, दि स्टार्स्, दि फैर्, दि केण्डल् लैट्, इलेक्ट्रिक् लैट्, वाट् एवर् मेक्स् अस् रिकग्नैज् थिङ्ग्स्, गेट् हेल्प् अस् टु have knowledge of things, I am all those lights. But among all those lights, especially, I am the sun and the moon. So far as we know, the sun is the most powerful light in daytime, of course. At night, it is the moonlight. But there are two types of lights. We always have to remember that. Even if it is midday and there is a brilliant sunlight, even we are unable to look at it. So that sunlight lights up the whole world, revealing all the objects that our eyes can perceive. But unless we have got that consciousness, awareness, this sunlight, moonlight, etc. are completely useless. For example, even if a person is completely asleep, even in midday, outside, he will not get any knowledge, because that light through which every other light is cognized, that original light of the Atman, Chidrupa Atman, of the form of consciousness, that is absent. So keep this in mind. Aditya Nam, there are 12 Adityas according to our Puranas, like for example, Dhata, Mitra, Aryama, Indra, Varuna, Amsha, Bhaga, Vivaswan, Pusha, Savita, Trashta and Vishnu. These are the well-known 12 Adityas. Aditi's children are called Adityas. Important point for us is the Vishnu. He is the most adored Devata, deity in Puranas, even in the Vedas. So, of all the Adityas, I am the Vishnu. Jyotisham, among all the things that light up this world, Ravihi Amshuman, I am the sun, and Marichihi Marutam, of all the things that blow, of all the airs, according to our Puranas, there are 49 varieties of Maruts. The very word Marut is very significant word. The air is also called the most purifying agent. The water is purifying, fire is purifying, and the air is also purifying, earth is purifying. That's why many times in the, especially villages, etc., when they have to wash their hands, they take up a little bit of clay, etc. But mostly we use water and then we dry air. For example, if there is a rotting corpse, what does the air do? It blows away all the degenerating smell and then afterwards it becomes smellless. That means it is purifying the corpse, rotten objects, etc., taking away their foul smell. So, there is 49 varieties of maruts, the blowing ones of them, I am Marichihi, the best among, we can say, that air which is cooling, refreshing, relaxing and giving so much of pleasure and putting us even to sleep when we want to sleep, that is the best. But important point also, every air is a purifying agent. Nakshatranam aham shashi. For Hindus, the nakshatra, Ashwini, Bharani, Kritika, Rohini, etc., 27. It is said that Daksha had 27 daughters and he gave all of them to the moon. So, this is how among the blinking ones, twinkling ones, they also give the light. Before the compass was invented, it is the movement of the stars, especially keeping in mind pole star, we call Dhruva Nakshatra, that navigators use it to find their way, whether traveling to the east, west, south, north, etc. And of course, now compass has come. Important point is, among the stars, the moon is the best star. Of course, from the scientific point of view, moon is not a star. It doesn't have its own light. It borrows its light from the sun. So, originally, the light belongs to the sun only. So, moonlight is a myth. It is a misnomer. But it doesn't matter for us. At night, when the full moon is there, that lights up our path, reveals objects to some extent and makes our mind extremely happy. The influence of the moon upon all of us is incalculable. That's why moon is considered as the presiding deity of the mind. That is why somebody becomes lunatic. Lunatic means associated with lunar, that is the moon. The calendars are also associated with the sun, associated also with the moon. And in the Ramakrishna order, I think we follow the lunar calendar, all our Thithi, Nakshatra, etc. So, the moon is important light for all of us. Then, 22nd verse, Vedanam Samavedo Asmi, Devanam Asmi Vasavaha, Indriyanam Manaschasmi, Bhutanam Asmi Chetana. The Lord is enumerating four manifestations of Himself in these four extraordinary ways. Vedanam, Samaveda Asmi. Among the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. As we all know, Hindus, basic scriptures are called Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means knowledge of that which cannot be obtained through the five sense organs. The existence of God, existence of other world, existence of the afterlife, these are three important matters, the goal of life and the way to achieve that goal called Purushartha. These are the important topics that are revealed by the scriptures. These scriptures, in the beginning, there were no four Vedas, there was only one. But the knowledge had become so vast, then God incarnated Himself as Vedavyasa. Vedavyasa means he who collected, classified and distributed the Veda. So, this Veda, Vyasa, editor of the Vedas, not composer of the Vedas, because Vedas are called apaurushaya, not human compositions, eternal knowledge existing forever in the Atman. But somebody has to reveal it. Those revealers are called rishis. So much knowledge had come, so this so-called Krishna Dvaipayana, he got a title, he collected all the existing experiences, called them Veda and divided into four parts, because by that time he was incarnated, no single human being had the capacity to master the entire Veda. He had four disciples, so he divided the Veda into four parts, gave each part to each one of them. They are popularly known as Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atharva Veda. That's why another name for Veda is Brahma. That's why deified Veda is called Brahma. That's why Brahma has got four faces, so he is called Chaturmukha Brahma. Here also, in earlier times, Vedas were only three, Rig, Yajur, and Sama. But later on, another great rishi who accumulated a tremendous amount of volume of supernatural knowledge, his name was Atharvana. So he was also accepted. His knowledge was accepted. Now at the moment, four Vedas are there. Of these four Vedas, the Lord says, I am Sama Veda. He is not saying, I am not the other Vedas. What he is saying is, I am more manifest in Sama Veda. Why? Because the Rigvedic mantras selected and put to beautiful, singable tunes. That is called Sama Veda. That Veda, Vedic mantras, which can be sung very beautifully, that is called Sama Veda. And from this Sama Veda only has come all the what we call our modern Hindu music. In fact, music of the whole world, Gregorian music, etc. So, when a person sings something very important teaching, it takes root deeply in our minds. Instead of a dry, prosaic prose words, if the same thing is put in the form of a sing-song way, of course, according to the raga, according to the bhava, according to the shruti, according to the laya, sahitya, tala, etc. That is called musical Veda. That's why he says, among the Vedas, I am the musical Veda. Interestingly, this book we are studying now is called Gita, Bhagavad Gita, the Lord's song, because it is composed in mostly anustup meter, most of the shlokas, and very easily remembered. If anybody wants to remember Gita, he should not go on prosaically uttering like a dry words. But if same thing is sung very beautifully according to certain intonation, then even if we forget one word, the other word automatically links us. That is the power of music. It helps our memory. It helps our interest. It lifts up our mind. That's why Gita or music is called the very essence. So in Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Krishna says, I live not in the hearts of the rishis, munis, etc., but in the hearts of those devotees who sing of my names and glories. That singing is very, very helpful in concentration, in retaining, in memory, smriti, and in association. In every way it is very useful. That's why he says, Vedanam Samavedosmi. Then Devanam Asmi Vasavaha. Vasavaha Devanam. Among the so-called Svargaloka gods, residents of the Svargaloka, popularly known as Indraloka, there the king of all the gods is called Vasavaha, means Indra. Devanam Asmi Indraha. So, what is the speciality? Speciality is, he is the Lord, he is the ruler of Svargaloka. But that's not the only important thing. It is the Divine Lord Himself who granted him that knowledge. If we can recollect the Kena Upanishad, there was a war, battle between Devas and Rakshasas. The Devas won, but pride entered them that we won with our own power. And then suddenly they saw a ferocious being, a yaksha, and Indra sent, he became frightened. Maybe another enemy had come. So he sent Agni, and Agni could not find. He sent Vayu, Vayu could not find. By that time, he became humble, and then with great humility, he went, surrendered himself, and as a result, he was the first person to be a knower of Brahman, Brahmavit, Brahmaiva Bhavati. So, among gods, he became the ruler because he was the first among the gods to obtain knowledge of Atman or Brahman. He was a, in simple words, God-realized soul. That is why the Lord says, I am Indra. Whatever is glorified, best, it awes us, it wows us. And that thing we have to accept as the manifestation of God. So a great among the, what we call laharis, waves, tsunami is the greatest wave. And then we have to say, that is nothing but the divine Lord manifesting for the good of the world. Indriyanam manaschasmi. Among the indriya, sense organs, as we know, we have got 5 sense organs. The eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, and the skin. We have got 5 objects of experience. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, corresponding to these. So among the indriyas, each indriya is separate. One sense organ is authority only in its sphere. If whatever the eye sees, the other 4 sense organs cannot reject, cannot detect. Therefore, they are very limited. But all these 4, all these 5, when they report to the mind is endowed with a special chidabhasa, the capacity to collate all these 5 informations and make a composite picture. And that's why among the sense organs, because the mind also is a sense organ. That's why we say, mano, buddhi, ahankara, chittani, naham. Among the 11 sense organs. What are the 11? 5 organs of knowledge, 5 organs of action or experience, plus 1 of the mind. All these are called indriyas. Indriya is that venue, that instrument through which we obtain knowledge of the object. But the mind, it collates all the informations that got from the hand, the leg, etc., from the eye, ear, etc., and makes it a composite picture before it presents it to the buddhi. That's why the Lord says, I am the mind. We also have to understand that the mind is the root cause of all bondage. The mind is not only the controller and director of all the sense organs, but the subtlest and best of them. Hence, it is equivalent to God Himself. Therefore, the Lord declares it to be His own Self. Also, we know that mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. The Lord says, bhutanam asmi chetana. Bhutana means among all the living beings, right from the one-celled organism. Where there is prana, that is called prani. Where there is prana, there is consciousness. Maybe a small bit of consciousness. That consciousness in Sanskrit is called chetana. So among all the living beings, I manifest as chetana. So if we see in any being extraordinary manifestation of this consciousness, awareness, in the form of intelligence, a most intelligent person, animal, etc., then know that I am manifesting in the form of that chetana in a very living being. So when you see any conscious being, salute namo narayanaya. So also there is something very important. Consciousness is not only in the living beings, but it is also in the non-living beings. For Hindu, there is no inert thing at all. We will take panchabhutas, all the mountains, all the rivers, fire, air, and akasha, space. They are all devatas. Akasha linga, vayu linga, agni linga, jala linga, bhulinga, or prithvi linga. Shiva manifests in 5 temples in South India in the form of these lingas, vayu linga, etc. So it is nothing but God. All the pancha bhutas, 5 elements, they are all manifestations of the Divine Lord. But here especially, a living being which exhibits extraordinary intelligence in the form of physics, the form of art, form of statesmanship, in the form of rulership, in the form of a great poet, musician, etc. That's why we have to remember, we have to salute all these propagators of knowledge, it is their knowledge which is being accepted and assimilated and manifested through all the great beings. Verse 23, Rudranam Shankarashchasmi Vitesho Yaksharakshasam Vasunam Pavakashchasmi Meruhu Shikarinam Aham. Another four manifestations. Of the Rudras, I am Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am Kubera. Of the Vasus, I am fire. And of mountains, I am Meru. Hindus have a belief that Meru Parvata, Himalaya Parvata is there, then next is Meru Parvata. The Lord categorically says, among the Sthavarana, that means those Sikharina, that is the highest peaks, Sikhara means a peak, Meru Sikhara, I am manifesting in the form of Meru Parvata, the mountain called Meru. There are many Puranic legends how this Meru Parvata has been so much praised. It is a very spiritual place, etc. Of course, the Lord doesn't neglect Himalayas. We will come to that. Sthavaranam Himalaya. There are, according to Vedic calculation, 11 Rudras are there in Vedic times. What we call or study as Rudras in Vedic times, during Vedic times, in the Puranic times, they came to be classified as Shiva, Shankara, Kailasadipati, Parvatipati, Harahara Bhutanatha, and these names. But in Vedic times, people were worshipping 11 Rudras. They have 11 names. Of these 11 Rudras, the Lord is telling, I am Shankaraha. The word Shankara is a beautiful word. Kara means he who bestows. Sham means Sukha. When we study the Vedic Shanti Mantra, Shanno Mitra Shyam Varunaha, Shanno Bhavatvariyama, etc., that Shyam means, may they bring us that deep peace in the form of correct knowledge. He who bestows tremendous amount of peace, relaxation, and everything auspicious, Shiva, is called Shankara. Of the 11 Rudras, I am more manifest in the form of Shankara. Yaksha Rakshasam. We hear about Rakshasas. It doesn't mean all Rakshasas are bad. Only just as there are many human beings who are worse than devils, worse than Rakshasas. But they are not called Rakshasas. But among Rakshasas, there are people. Two examples I will give you. One example is Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. They were greatest devotees of God, but deliberately had chosen themselves to be born. Only purpose, we want to go to God very quickly. So you can't call them bad people. But you just look at Vibhishana, he was the greatest devotee of Bhagavan Rama. What about Prahlada, the foremost devotees? He was born to whom? Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, among the Rakshasas also, there are bad people, good people, great devotees. There are so many Yakshas and Rakshas. They live in a higher world. And those worlds are not experienceable, visible for us. But among them, Vitteshaha. The Vitta means wealth. Isha means he who possesses the greatest wealth. Among them, Vitteshaha Yaksha Rakshasam. Who is this Vitteshaha? He is called Kubera. And then, we know the story of Lord Venkateshwara, and he was the person, he was with Vaikuntha as Narayana, and this one day somebody insulted, so Lakshmi felt, left him there, and then came to the Manavaloka, Manishya Loka, and then who came? Lakshmi. Lakshmi means wealth. So wealth departed from Vishnu. Vishnu became pauper. Pauper means not even paper money. So, he had no option. He came down. He can't live without Lakshmi. Lakshmi also, of course, cannot live without Vishnu. Now, a beautiful love tale had taken place and Lakshmi was born as a princess, and this Venkateshwara Lord Narayana was born as a son of a very poor fellow. Somehow, big story, but these two again wanted to get married. But the father of the, holy mother's father demanded 300 rupees from Sri Ramakrishna's family. So these girls, they squeezed so much of money when they could. Of course, in revenge, the boys are squeezing back with compound interest. Nowadays, it is all history, that's all. History repeats itself. Is Venkateshwara, he had no money. So he had to approach Kubera and say, "Arey Baba, you give me." Now Kubera was looking for an opportunity. How to subdue this fellow? I had always he lords over me, bosses over me. He said, "Yes, yes, yes, I will be your servant and I will lend you the money, but at the highest interest rate." So this poor Vishnu had no option, because the investment money should be produced first if he wants to start a company. But that investment money can be sustained only after Lord marries Lakshmi. Then only maintenance money will come. So that Narayana had been manifesting as Lord Venkateshwara on the Tirumala hills. Mala means hill, Tiru means Sri. On the Sri Parvata, which is called Tirumala, Lord Venkateshwara, the richest deity. So this poor fellow, he could not repay the capital. So he had to fall at the feet of the devotees and begged the devotees, "Arey Babara, you please subscribe. Whatever you give me. I have made a huge hundi, whether it is your hair, because I can sell your hair as artificial hairdo, etc., and the form of your jewelry, the form of your any type of money, doesn't matter what color it is, black, white, yellow, blue, red, I don't mind. I know how to wash. I have a special super surf which makes everything pure white." So every year, with great difficulty, he was able to only pay the interest. The capital remains the same. Now, what is the symbolism? Symbolism is the moment the Lord is able to pay off the capital, he won't be here. He will fly back to Vaikuntha. Therefore, we devotees can demand. So it is an exchange. We have desires, we'll give you money and wealth, but in exchange, you have to fulfill our desires. He's in Telugu language, he has been known. A beautiful name, devotees have come. Vaddi Kasula Vadu. Vaddi means interest. Kasula Vadu means pay just to repay the interest. All the devotees must help him. Anyway, what is the point? Kubera, the wealthiest person. By proxy, what it means is, if you see a wealthiest person, a multi-billionaire, salute that person. How did the wealth come? He must be extraordinarily intelligent, because without intelligence plus hard work, nothing can be obtained, including wealth. So some good thing a person must have done. As a result, he got the wealth. Only two conditions are there. He should not acquire wealth through crookedness, cleverness, by hook or crook. Secondly, he must always remember everything belongs to God, but he should use that money back to the God in the form of service. These two caveats fulfilled, then we can understand that that person is a noble person. Otherwise, he will go through terrible suffering and learn the lesson. But for all of us, whatever extraordinary, great wealth, wealth of knowledge, wealth of intelligence, wealth of money, wealth in any form, we have to salute. It is the manifestation of the Divine Lord. Then, Vasu Naam Pavakaschasmi. So, among the Vasus, there are so many Vasus are there. We know in the Mahabharata, Bhishma, he was among the Ashtavasus, eight Vasus. So, who are the eight Vasus? Dhara, Dhruva, Soma, Ahaha, Anilaha, Analaha, Pratyushaha, and Prabhasaha. Among these Vasus, what does he say? "I am Pavakaschasmi." Pavaka means fire. Fire because it is the most purifying element in this world. It is not necessary for us to remember all the details, but that fire is also called priest of the gods. That's why he is called Puraha. He is the goer in between human beings and then Purohitaha. He takes our offerings to gods and he brings the gifts of gods to us. The modern term priest in temple or conducting rituals, he is called fire. He is only go between man and God. Of all the 8 vasos, I am fire because I not only purify everything, I also carry it to gods. I am the postman, bring it back. Then we have already discussed this one. Meruhu Shikharinamaham. Among the highest peaked one, I am the Meru Parvata. Meru mountain is believed to be the center of the stars and the main divisions of the world and the repository of gold and jewels. It's our Hindu belief in our Puranas. Meru Parvata, mountain Meru, contains the largest wealth if anybody can mine them. Its peaks are the highest in the world. Being thus the chief of mountains, the Meru has been declared to be the very self of the Lord. But more than anything else, most of the gods dwell. Holy people, rishis, spiritual aspirants, yogis, jnanis, all of them make this Meru Parvata as one of their holy places to stay, perform spiritual discipline, sadhana, and progress in life. So, when you remember, hear, or see, then you salute, O Lord, in the form of this great peak. So, also, Mount Everest. We will come to that. Verse 24. Purodha sancha mukhyam maam vidhi partha brihaspatim senani naam aham skandaha sarasa amasmi sagraha. 3 manifestations are being enumerated here. Purodhasam means among the priests, high priests. Know me to be, O Arjuna, Partha, Brihaspatim. There are gods. Indraloka we talked about. And they also require a priest because they are also not complete beings. They are also endowed with lot of ajnana, ignorance. So they also are periodically thrashed by asuras, etc. So they require to do tapasya, to worship God, to get the protection of Shiva, Brahma or Vishnu. So therefore they also require a priest. And one of the most learned people is called Brihaspati. Brihaspati is called the chief priest of the Devas. So among all the priests that the Devatas employ, this Brihaspati is the greatest. Another meaning given is Brihaha Pati. Pati means Lord, Master, He who knows best. Briha, He who is the repository, a living encyclopedia of all wisdom, of all knowledge, is called Brihaspati. In South India, especially in Karnataka state, even we come across a stupid, idiotic, foolish fellow, in fun, we call him Brihaspati. But it means exactly the opposite. You are an idiot, is what you call it. So, among the priests, O Partha, know me to be the chief Brihaspati. Of generals, I am Skanda. So, who is Skanda? He is the son of Shiva. A gory story is there. I am not going to go into it. There was a demon and he was giving trouble to all the 3 worlds. Then the devatas, human beings, they prayed to Vishnu. Vishnu went and said to Shiva that you better beget a son who is able to kill, destroy this asura. And so Shiva inadvertently, he became, lost his seed and that seed became this Kumara. He had got many names are there. So, on the name Skanda and also Kumara, Shashta, Ayappa, Kartikeya, and he has 6 heads. That's why he has got Shashta and also 12 arms. But he is the greatest generalismo. He can conquer anybody. And Shiva has got another son, not born regularly like human beings. So, it is said one day, Parvati wanted to take bath without any disturbance. She made out of some powder a figure and blew life air into that. and asked, that was Ganesha, and then, do not allow anybody to disturb me. Meanwhile, the father of Ganesha came. Of course, he did not know, and Ganesha stopped him entering, and Shiva got angry, and he cut off his own son's head. How dare you stop me from entering into my own house and seeing my own wife? Then Parvati came and gave him some nice blows and then said, this is your son, don't you remember? And that poor fellow had no option. He had said, yes, yes, I'm sorry, darling, what can I do now? So bring him back to life. And this fellow, Shiva, had no power. So what did he do? He sent somebody, bring the head of anything that is, you see, any animal, any human being. And the first thing they saw, the dead elephant. So they cut off the head and brought it, and then he attached it, put some super glue both up and down, and then immediately came back to life. Ah, my son, I am so sorry. So from now onwards, I am compensating for the mistake I have committed. And before anybody can come to me, that you remove all the obstacles. If somebody has devotion to me and to you, remove the obstacles. If somebody doesn't, then create obstacles. He can do both ways. So be careful. Worship Ganesha. Prathama Sumara. Remember first. Worship him first. So all the obstacles will be removed. And that is the, he is talking here. Shiva had two sons. Of these, the more valiant or strong person who can command all the armies, bring success and defeat enemies, among these I am the Skanda, or the eldest Kumara. Remember, Sri Ramakrishna also tells a beautiful story extolling Ganesha. Once Shiva, Parvati, Ganesha and Kumara, mother and father, two sons are sitting there, and Parvati had a beautiful, valuable necklace. Somehow, she took it into her head. He who can circumambulate the whole world, cosmos, and come to me first, he will get this. And immediately, Kumaraswami, his vahana vehicle is peacock, and he was as proud as the peacock. So he smirked and looked at his younger brother, who was sedate, fat, and he has got only the smallest of the vahana, which is called a mouse. He jumped on the peacock, went round, peacock sure, that he will get the hara, the necklace. And then he went, this after long time, Ganesha got up and circumambulated father and mother. With what idea? Jagata pitarav vande Parvati Parameshwarav, Mata me Parvati Devi, Pitadevo Maheshwara. They are not ordinary people. They are the root cause of this entire world. They are the creators of this entire world. So the world is nothing but them. With this firm knowledge, he went round them, and then immediately Parvati took out the necklace and put it round the neck of her favorite son Ganesha. Long afterwards, this first elder son came back and already found the necklace adoring. He demanded an explanation, was given and said, you fool, you did not have that knowledge that we are the whole world. We are manifesting as every being in this world. What the Bhagavan Krishna is telling as the Lord of the universe, I am manifesting in this world. So there is also a beautiful story about Ganesha. So one, he was a small child, he was playing. Suddenly a poor cat happened to be passing by, and then he caught hold of it, scratched it all over, and somehow with life and limb it escaped. After some time, tired of the play, Ganesha ran to his mother and found all her body was full of these scratchings and bruises. Blood was flowing out. He was pained because he loved his mother more than anybody else. Then he asked, Ma, who injured you? And she said, my son, it is you who injured me. He was shocked. How could I do that? My son, don't you know, I manifest in the form of every living creature in this world. This cat that few seconds back you injured is also, I am only manifesting. Ya devi sarva bhuteshu prana rupena shakti rupena samsthita namastasyai 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 Namo Namah. Ganesha instantaneously became a Brahmavit. That is, the whole world is nothing but pure Brahman. So it is said, he never married. But South Indians are great. They will not rest content unless they make every god and goddess married. Then we are suffering. What right have you got to go scot-free? They married Ganesha also, not with one wife, but with two wives called Riddhi and Siddhi. Symbolic names, no marriage. What it means is Riddhi means prosperity, Siddhi means success. Where there is Ganesha, there will be success and there will be wealth, anything that man can desire, including moksha, liberation. Verse 25, Maharshinam Bhrugraham Giramasmyekamaksharam Yajnanam Japayagnuvasmi Sthavaranam Himalayaha. Maharshinam. There are so many great rishis. Among them, Aham Bhrigahu. I am the chief among them, the best among them. My name is Bhrigu Maharshi. And there is a story how Lord Venkateshwara came. The gods wanted to find out who was the greatest god among the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. And this Bhrigu went, he examined, he tested Brahma and Shiva, and he became very angry, he kicked. This Bhrigu was supposed to have a wisdom eye in one of his right foot. And with that he kicked, and Bhagavan Vishnu, as if he did not know, and then, you are such a great soul, you have come, we are householders, it's our duty to entertain you, to respect you, to worship you. And he started massaging the foot, and in that course, he pressed that eye, and this Bhrigu lost that eye, and as a result, his ahankara had gone, fell at the feet of the Lord, and of course, then Lakshmi got very annoyed, because this Bhrigu Maharshi kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, and this Lakshmi supposed to reside in the chest as Sri Vatsankita, Sri Kaustubha, in the form of a beautiful jewel. She got offended. How could you tolerate? Vishnu very lovingly says, Lakshmi, when you have children, child, you are suckling the child, and what does the child do? In his joy, he goes on kicking you all over your chest. And what do? You hug him even more. So, this child also, he doesn't know anything. We are the parents. We have to put up everything. Of course, Lakshmi could not accept that. In a huff, she came down to our world, and then Narayana had to run back. Without Lakshmi, he can't do the maintenance work. The maintenance is very necessary. And so, he got married, borrowed money at high interest rate. I told you that story. That is the Lord Venkateshwara. This Bhrigu was the root cause of Lord Narayana coming onto the earth, and then he manifests as Lord Venkateshwara on the hills of Tirupati. So among the Maharshis, there are so many. I am Bhrigu. So who are the Maharshis? There are many. Their distinctive marks are very distinctive people. And 10 among those Rishis, seers, are the most important. They are wise men who, having transcended the limits of human intellect, depend entirely on him, who is infinite in virtues. Mahantam Rishanti iti Maharshayaha. They are called Maharshis. Why Purana says? Because God himself appeared through Brahma in the form of the seers. They are called Maharshis. Bhrigu, the chief of all great seers, is a great devotee of God, highly enlightened and full of spiritual glow. Hence, the Lord declares him to be his own self. Next, Giram Asmi Ekam Aksharam. Among the syllables, among the letters, Gira means that which comes out in the form of sounds from the mouth. Words come out. Words are nothing but combination of syllables. Of these syllables, the first syllable that is uttered, because it is the very beginning of the sound machine in human or animal throat, that sound mechanism, the first thing is ah. That's why Omkara, which consists of all the 52 Sanskrit syllables, first is ah, middle is O and the last is M. So that with closed lips only we can pronounce Rama. With open lips we can't use that word Ma. Pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. All the five, they are called the lip through the lips. Without touching both the lips, pa, pa, ba, ba, ma, these five cannot be uttered. Of all the syllables in the whole world, I am Akara. That's why it's called Akshara. Girami ismaim ekam aksharam. What is that Akshara? Omkara. Starting with A. That's why the glory, the greatness of Omkara cannot be estimated by anybody. It is a bridge to reach the Saguna Brahma first, personal God, and then go beyond even the personal God, which is called Parabrahma, Nirguna Brahma, Nirvisesha Brahma, Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma. First Saguna, then Nirguna. And this is the Omkara, which takes me to that highest. This is known as Pranava also. So, among the syllables, sounds with meaning, I am Omkara. Ignanam japayagno asmi. Among the all the yagnas, what is a yagna? That which takes us gradually to God is yagna. That's why we saw in the 4th chapter, Brahma yagna, etc., 12 yagnas. Of these things, he says, whatever converts our life, our activities, our thoughts into spiritual activities and gradually brings us nearer to God, that is called yagna, in English language, sacrifice. So, of all the sacrifices, the Lord says, japa yagna is the greatest. Why japa yagna is greatest? Because japat siddhi. We will see it in our futures with some examples. And then he says here, sthavaranam Himalaya. Sthavara means that which is absolutely fixed, that which doesn't move. Among the immovable, the mountains is an immovable. Among the mountains, I am Himalaya. About Himalaya, people go into ecstasies. This we will discuss in our next class tomorrow. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.